this week where there's more on the law between, and it's really the law between people, a lot of personal injury and thievery, etc., that's going to be in the law. And when we read this, we see that it makes such perfect, God-fearing, thoughtful of others sense. I mean, if you've been around and you just, different things can happen to people, what would be the way to solve this dilemma between people? God's law is perfect. As we're going to see, and we ended last week with Exodus 21:12, where it says, "He who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death." And again, talking about the Gosnell movie before our service here, that a man or woman that strikes a baby in the womb, I mean, that's what should happen. I mean, that's what God's law required. In the days of Israel, God said, do not allow your children to pass through the fire. They would do abortion by same reasons, sexual immorality, giving birth to children that the Jews would deal with and the other nations would deal with by then sacrificing them to their gods. Because Satan deceives people into immorality, then deceives them into dealing with the children that are the offspring in unimaginable wicked ways that their conscience are not even seared. And the Gosnell movie shows that. It shows an abortionist whose conscience is not even seared of aborting 30,000 babies. And but God sees it, and unless we repent as a country and see the church, we should be big dealing this. We should be telling people the consequences. When people see the movie and argue about it, maybe at the workplace, or even the whole Kavanaugh being selected for the Supreme Court, the national debate was, if he gets on, then abortion could get turned away, so he's got to go with whatever tactic is necessary. He's got to go. And people should have been saying, do you realize that God, there is a God, he cares about children, and he's watching this, and you're taking a side that it might not be healthy for you when you stand before God. And put the fear in people. That's what the law and the Holy Spirit is convicting the world of sin. He does that through us. The Holy Spirit is working at us to help being that witness that bring God into the equation. This isn't a Supreme Court decision of 1973. This is a rebellion against God decision and what he says. And just warn people, it's not going to go well for you. You don't want to be on the wrong side. Verse 13, however, if he did not lie in wait, but God delivered him into his hand, then I will appoint for you a place where he may flee. If you accidentally kill somebody, you didn't do it on purpose, you weren't waiting to murder somebody, but you accidentally caused the death of somebody else, then you can flee to a city, a sanctuary city, cities of refuge. And we'll get into that when we cover those sections of scripture later on in the law. But it was a place to run to that no one could kill you, no relative could kill you. If they caught you getting to the city of refuge, even if it was accidental manslaughter, their vengeance could be to kill you, and they wouldn't be in trouble for doing so. But if you get to the city of refuge, then there would be a trial, and if you were not guilty of premeditated murder, then you would be sentenced to stay in that city until the death of the priest of that city, and the Levitical priest. And as soon as he died, then you were set free. So that was their manslaughter imprisonment. By the way, you'll notice you can read the entire law of God. There's not a single jail, not a single dollar spent on jail. The closest that you get to jail is a manslaughter conviction where you have to stay in a city for the rest of your life if the priest of the city outlives you. You had to not leave that city the rest of your life. That was jail. But you functioned within the city. Because God in his wisdom knows that jails destroy a society. You know how many billions of dollars we spend on the most incarcerated nation on the planet by several times over? And it doesn't work. God knew it didn't work, so he didn't put it in his law. What God's law says works on even causing people to change their attitude. Verse 14, but if a man acts with premeditation against his neighbor to kill him by treachery, you shall take him from my altar that he may die. He is not allowed to go to the altar to sacrifice to get out of it. There's nothing that he can do. He is to be delivered to death row. Now, people say death row doesn't work, but as I mentioned last week, that's because we take so many years. And if it was just simply dealt with and people put it on front page paper and this is what happened, boom, boom, it would have a good effect. That's why, and when we did, I mentioned on Sunday we got caught taking Bibles into China 20 some years ago, and we did go to our messed up hotel room, turn the TV on to see if we were on the news, but we didn't make the news. But we saw these people. I've shared this before. There was the TV camera was on these people, and they're bummed, and they're walking in a procession. And you can tell it's like the whole weight of the world is on them. And then they show and then you don't see them, but they show the crowd, and the crowd goes like this. And we couldn't figure out what was going on because we couldn't understand what was being said by the narration. So when we got back to Hong Kong and got back to Ramsey, who was able to, what happened to you guys and all that stuff, and we got through that, and we said, what was the deal? We were watching something on TV. He goes, oh, that was national news all over the country of China. It was drug dealers that were being shot. And so they were, they put it on TV. The drug dealers that are being walked, and so they were going, I'm about to die. And then they show the crowd winching at death by firing squad on each one of the drug dealers. Now, per capita, they don't have nearly the drug problem we do. Now, I wonder why. And when we were in China during one of their holidays, we're in Shanghai, millions and millions and millions of people on one of their national holidays. And I mean, it's building to building, not sidewalk to sidewalk. I mean, solid in the street, solid on the sidewalk, building to building, completely full, to the point where we were so thankful one of the guys was tall. And it was like, while we're walking through there, just keep an eye on him, because otherwise we're going to get lost. And we're told this. So this is New York on steroids as far as number of people. And now, if you were in a crowd like that in New York, do you think that you would have all your wallets and well-being by the time you got done getting to the other side of town? Absolutely not. And we were told, you will have absolutely no problem. You are completely safe. The worst thing that could possibly happen is you get pickpocketed. And if you get pickpocketed and a Public Security Bureau person is in the crowd and sees it happen, do not interfere with that guy beating that guy almost to death. That's what we were told. He goes, don't interfere. Don't say, oh no, it's okay. He can have my wallet. Don't do a thing. He will be beat within an inch of his life. And we're walking through and we felt just so safe. So in a sense, the Chinese communists understand the law of God better than Americans do. I mean, they understand, and I know it's a police state thing, but there is, God's law has, if people understand that there's repercussions from their sin, they will stop being so flagrant about sin. And if you allow sin to be accoladed, pampered, everything else, what you end up with is a collapsed society, which is where we're headed to. We're headed to a collapsed society. Just the financial consequences of our judicial system, prison system, is collapsing us. And our system doesn't cause people to change their heart. They come back out and do the same thing. So then back to Exodus 21:15, it says, and he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Now, well, that puts a damper on on youth rebelling. I was really rebellious as a kid, but my brother, he got A++. He fought my mom and he fought my dad. And I remember even then thinking, man, what is he? I don't think we should be doing that. I mean, getting into a full-fledged fight with my dad and hitting my mom, and my brother's in, he's very, very serious, messed up his whole life. And but I would imagine he wouldn't have done it if he knew that that was the punishment. Verse 16, he who kidnaps a man and sells him, or if he is found in his hand, shall surely be put to death. So kidnapping is a capital offense. And it says a man, it means mankind. Kidnapping a woman for sex trafficking is all the same as selling her as a servant. And Do you think that that could clean up our... Sex trafficking is a national issue problem. It's gone all the way up to the present. Tens of thousands of American women are being sex trafficked. Hundreds of thousands globally are being sex trafficked. The law of God would say, you kidnap a girl and start using her as a slave, sex slave, etc. You're found, you're shot. You're executed. It's a horrible problem. And a misery that it causes to women who are kidnapped, trafficked, etc. Just imagine, and again, God sees it, and He loves children, He loves women, He loves society treating each other properly. If they don't, He says, I'll get you. I'll bring judgment to you. And he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Now, that one did apply to me, and I bet you I wouldn't have done it if I knew that that was going to be implemented. And all a father had to do is say, oh, really, you just cursed me. Let's go talk to the city elders. And that kid would know right then, and all the rest of the kids in the neighborhood were, whoa, 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 don't ever curse your parents. Now, why is all this so important on this family level? Don't hit your parents. Don't curse your parents. Because if you look at the scriptures, the family is so important. The family is the foundation of a furtherance of a society that wants to glorify God. You destroy the family, you've destroyed the future spiritual aspects of that society. And that's exactly what's happened to America. We have a destroyed family in every way. You have the school, and the government has taken over the role of parents. They can counsel your children at school contrary to what you want to tell them about Jesus and about proper living. They can let them go get an abortion. They can let them go do all kinds of stuff, teach them sexual perversions, everything else. The government has taken over for the family, trying to, and even for homeschoolers that are trying to hold on to that aspect. They're maligned and otherwise. People have tried to come against the homeschooling movement because they know that we want your kids. Well, the family unit is supposed to be the protector and the upbringer of children. And when we went to New York for a while for the shipyard, weren't allowed to homeschool in New York, and there was some hoop that you had to jump through, and I didn't. And the regents of New York made define what the hoop was, and I did what the regents of New York said was the hoop for our children, but the school district found out we were homeschooling, and they said, well, you haven't filled out this form. I go, yeah, I'm not going to. Well, you have to do this for our, we have to give you the okay. Well, that's not what the regents say. Well, this is for our benefit. I go, I'm not here for your benefit. I'm here to train my kids. I said, I'll sign a contract with you that my kids will not be wards of the state, that they won't be a burden on society. I'll do anything else, but I'm not going to do what you want me to do when you don't have the authority of law to do it. And it was quite the deal. When one lady was arrested for having her kids in homeschool, that's what brought the regent's ruling that kept that from happening again. But imagine that. You want to raise your children and you go to jail. And he who curses, or verse 18, if men contend with each other and one strikes the other with a stone or with his fist, and he does not die but is confined to his bed, if he rises again and walks about outside with his staff, then he who struck him shall be acquitted. From what? From, he's not going to have to die because he didn't kill him. He shall only pay for the loss of his time and shall provide for him to be thoroughly healed. So here the Bible's dealing with personal injury lawsuits. And isn't that what our society is based on? Hey, you just got in a fight and the guy's now crippled. What's going to happen? You're going to get a lawyer. You're going to go to the court. You're going to say to the court, I lost this many days of work. And what's the judge going to say, or the jury's going to say? Well, you owe him this money. It's just the law of God has put this into our society of how we should treat each other out of love, to be thoughtful for one another. And if a man, you'd be more careful about what kind of fights you get into, right? And if a man beats his male or female servant with a rod so that he dies under his hand, he shall surely be punished, as determined by the elders and the priests, because he went too far in punishing. Now, and again, people that don't that want to mock the Bible, they use this verse. Look at this. This guy just beats his servant. But why do people become indentured into servanthood according to the Jewish law? Because they, as we covered last week, they steal something. If they steal something and it's lost, they owe five times back. They owe five times back. They can't afford it. They get sold into slavery for only six years, and they have to be let loose. The guy still has an attitude. He hasn't been rehabilitated. And so he steals again from his master. And the master says, you know what? I bought you to help me. You're stealing. We're going to work that out of you. And so you get a beating. And again, I'm testimony to the fact that a beating can cause you to stop stealing, because I was a thief. And I got caught stealing stuff out of cars in the middle of the night, sneaking out in the middle of the night, stealing stuff out of cars, got in trouble the next day, and I got a whooping, and I was done stealing. I decided it is not worth it. And it was because it wasn't a little whooping, it was a big whooping. And my dad didn't have to worry I didn't almost die, but he rehabilitated me on that issue. And I was still a pagan. I still was not a believer. So, notwithstanding, if he remains alive a day or two, he shall not be punished, for he is his property associated with bringing him upright. Now, what's worse? Is this worse, for people that want to mock the Bible, is this worse than a guy who steals, goes to county jail, learns how to steal better from the other guys, comes back out, and steals again? This time it's a felony, gets rung up into prison for a couple, 3 years, so we pay for him in prison for a couple, 3 years. He learns from the big boys how to steal better, comes out again, goes and steals more, or does something worse, and goes back into prison for 10 years, and we take care of him for umpteen years of his life. What's worse? A whooping that would really rehabilitate, or a system that causes tax-paying members of society to spend corporately as a nation billions of dollars a year for no rehabilitation? Mostly no rehabilitation. Some do rehabilitate, but not many. Verse 22, if men fight and hurt a woman with child so that she gives birth prematurely, yet no harm follows, he shall surely be punished according as the woman's husband imposes on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. But if any harm follows to the child, then you shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. This is one of the verses that Jesus was alluding to. You have heard it written, you know, that eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. But I'm telling you, you know, that you can forgive. See, by the law, it was, if something happened, and this was just other personal injury, not the baby in the womb, but any personal injury, it was like, if you did it, it was like eye for eye. It makes you really careful about how you treat other people. So what does the Bible say right there? That the child in the womb is what? A person. The child in the womb is a person. And does this apply to our country? It does as of 2 weeks ago. Because Alabama Supreme Court upholds personhood of unborn babies. Judge calls for end of Roe v. Wade 2 weeks ago. Alabama. This guy murdered a woman. And the child died too. And he was tried for two murders. And he was convicted of two murders all the way up to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court and the news this week, yesterday, it was Drudge news that this case is now going to go to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court, if they rule, that's a person. A baby in a womb is a person. Oh, so now is it only a person if somebody's murdering the woman? Or is it a person when the abortionist is going in to murder the baby? And it will quickly turn Roe v. Wade. And again, this would be good news. It's kind of, but I look at it. Again, I'm not very optimistic about our nation's future, as you can tell. but you have Manasseh. He led the nation in slaughtering filling Jerusalem with innocent blood, according to the Bible. If you read Kings and Chronicles, the last chapters of Kings and Chronicles, most wicked king. But he repented. He got conquered by Babylon and hauled off to stay there for a while, but they let him come back. And when he came back, he had a change of attitude and he started undoing, was it Babylon or Syria? Anyway, he was hauled off, came back, and he says, you know what? I'm going to change. And he repented. But then when judgment did come upon Judah, God said, I restrained my judgment because of Manasseh, but I can't let the blood go unanswered. And so judgment came to the nation of Judah. So I pray that this could go all the way to Supreme Court. I pray that this could turn around Roe v. Wade. I pray that, and it would be so easy, and here's the reason why. The Roe v. Wade decision was based on, one of the jurists wrote, and I'm paraphrasing, this decision is based on the fetus not being medically determined to be a person. If it could be determined that the fetus is a person, then they have all the rights that's afforded by the Constitution to life and liberty. And so, and we've gone, science has determined in every way that the baby, different blood type, different DNA, different, I mean, it is not just a vestigial or appendix of some sort inside the body. It is a human being inside there. And so when it goes to the court, it'd be easy for a friendly court to go back to Roe v. Wade and said, they said if the person is, if the fetus is a person, then this ruling is an error. And so a fetus is a person. It's not a fetus. It is a person, and therefore we rule that it is not a constitutional right to kill people. So we can have hope. Pray for that. Be neat to see that turn around. If a man strikes the eye of his male or female servant, destroys it, he shall let him go for the sake of his eye. Verse 27, and if he knocks out the tooth of his male or female servant, he shall let him go for the sake of his tooth. If an ox gores a man or a woman to death, then the ox shall surely be stoned, and its flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be acquitted. Now, why do you think it says stone the ox? In light of what else it says, huh?
The ox considered judicially guilty of a crime.
Yeah, judicially guilty of a crime. Could have said, you know, shoot him with an arrow, kill him somehow, spear him, knife him, you know, whatever. Says stone him. So judicially, that was how people were killed. It could be one reason. And then it says, why do you think it says, and the flesh shall not be eaten? Huh? Well, what could cause an ox to want to all of a sudden gore somebody? Yeah, it could be sick. Could have rabies. Cows can get rabies. And so it could be all of a sudden going mad by some kind of disease. And God is protecting. And again, the stoning, we don't know. But if you were to spear or arrow or whatever, what would you do? You would take that, and with the blood on it, you would be wiping it off and maybe catching a disease that it has. And so maybe the stoning was to protect you. This is an animal that might have something wrong with it. Stone it. Don't touch its blood. Don't eat it. Just leave it there.
Also, with an arrow or spearing or something, usually it's one or two people doing it. Stoning, everybody has to be involved in order to do that, so they all see the consequences of that and a little more careful with their lifestyle.
And it would be, it also includes a stoning, would have taken a few people to be around there to make sure to take down an ox from stoning is not going to be an easy deal. And everybody is realizing consequences of allowing this animal that you knew was a problem. It has to be taken down. It gored somebody. It killed somebody. It has to be taken down. So, but verse 29, but if the ox tended to thrust with its horns in times past, and it has been made known to his owner, and he has not kept it confined, so that it has killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and its owner also shall be put to death. Once again, the law is personal liability, the law of God, It makes everybody think about others, doesn't it? You know, we live in a totally self-centered society. You know, I'm going to do what I want to do, and I don't care what it does to you. And what the law of God was, there's consequences for that. If you know something could kill somebody, then you're guilty if it does kill somebody. And makes sense. And it emphasizes the value of life. The Bible's law emphasizes the value of human life, which people said way back in the 70s. I remember hearing them say, if we now embrace the killing of children, it will ruin our society's appreciation for life in other ways. And we're seeing that, aren't we? If there is imposed on him a sum of money, then he shall pay to redeem his life whatever is imposed on him, whether it has gored a son or gored a daughter. According to this judgment, it shall be done to him. Because he wasn't personally involved in it, he could buy his way out of his capital punishment to the people that were affected. If the ox gores a male or female servant, he shall give to their master 30 shekels of silver. 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. Does that remind you of anything? Huh? You know, 30 shekels is 30 pieces of silver. So what the Bible's law declares is that a servant is worth 30 pieces of silver. A slave is worth 30 pieces of silver. So what Judas betrayed Jesus for was the price of a slave. And Jesus was a slave, wasn't he? He was a slave of the Father that was sent to die on the cross for our sins. And so that was kind of interesting, the parallel there. Betrayed for the price of a slave. And if a man opens a pit, or if a man digs a pit and does not cover it, and the ox or the donkey falls in it, the owner of the pit shall make it good. He shall give money to their owner, but the dead animal shall be his. Yeah, car accident liability is really what it's talking about there. You know, just a danger that you're going to pay the person back for the consequence. If one man's ox hurts another so that it dies, then they shall sell the ox, the live ox, and divide the money from it. And the dead ox they shall also divide. Or if it was known that the ox tended to thrust in times past, and its owner has not kept it confined, he shall surely pay ox for ox, and the dead animal shall be his own. Again, reflect the law of God, compassion, thoughtfulness towards others. Chapter 22, if a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. So theft laws. You pay 5 times if it's an ox. How many car thieves if you had to pay 5 times the price of a car? And if you had to pay 5 times the price of a car, then you'd say, I can't pay it. And our system, what will we do to our system? Well, then you're going to go to jail. And I've seen this happen. There was a good friend of mine, he had an air conditioning refrigeration business. Thousands, thousands of dollars in the back of his van. And cleaned out. Just totally cleaned out. I mean, just basically destroyed his business. And they caught the guys, and the judge said, you need to pay this guy back. You know, did he get any money back? You know, because they throw him in jail. How can you make money in jail? And he didn't have to pay him back. But see, in their system, oh, you can't make it. Well, 6 years of slavery, and then and that money is coming to pay the guy back and ensures the person gets paid back. And he gets rehabilitated by his master. Over those 6 years, either learns it quick or he learns it slow way. Either way, probably rehabilitated, and he's back in society later on. If a thief is found breaking in to your house and he is struck so that he dies, there shall be no guilt for his bloodshed. Now, this is at night. If he breaks in at night and he gets killed, there's no consequence. Because what is it about night? And you have to remember, can't flip on the switch, see what's happening. Somebody's in your house at night. What are you thinking? They might be here to kill me. And so the Bible's law clearly teaches self-defense is okay. That you can defend yourself in your house. But, verse 3, if the sun has risen on him, there shall be guilt for his bloodshed. He should make full restitution. If he has nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. So, if you catch him in the day, you're not allowed to kill him. Because you know he's just stealing. And a thief shouldn't be killed for stealing. Now, has that hit the news here anytime recently? Any of you followed the news? There was a Lakeland City Commissioner, this is October 22nd, 2018, a little over a week ago, charged with murder and shooting a man he suspected of shoplifting. So he owned this thrift store, and he saw the guy pilfer an axe. So he took an axe, jocked it, was walking out with both his hands, so he hasn't got it in his hands. And he's walking out the door, and the owner, the city councilman, city commissioner, grabbed him by the shirt with a gun in his other hand and saying, no, you come in here, I'm going to, hold you for theft, for shoplifting. The guy still tried to break away, and so he shot him dead. And that made national news, and everybody was wondering, how is this going to come down? And what if you were a God-fearing person, you're the prosecutor, you're the city prosecutor, what would you have said? As a God-fearing person, you said, that's murder because of this verse. And that's actually what happened. He's now going to be charged for murder because he shouldn't have killed somebody for shoplifting. If the theft is certainly found alive in his hand, he's stolen a sheep or something that's alive, whether it is an ox or a donkey or a sheep, he shall restore double. So, five times if the ox dies, four if it's a sheep, but if you get it back, I stole it, but I'm sorry, here it is, let me go. No, it's twice. you get the sheep plus another one to again make theft something that you don't want to do. How many of you have been affected by thievery in your life? Yeah. Broken in houses, I see some of the hands here, broken in houses, stuff stolen out of your car, all this other stuff. It's troubling. But the law of God would put the fear in people about stealing so that they would think twice about doing it. Stop in verse 5 here. If a man causes a field or vineyard to be grazed and lets loose his animal, and it feeds in another man's field, he shall make restitution from the best of his own field and the best of his own vineyard. So personal responsibility. To do unto others as you want them to do unto you. To love your neighbors yourself. The biblical law is conflict avoidance and conflict resolution. And if you look at it, whether you're on the side that is being judged against or if you're on the side that's being judged for, you would really look at it and say, this is just if I think about doing unto others as doing unto myself. And that's why Jesus said, all the law is wrapped up into you. Just have love for God, meaning you want to obey him as our creator, and love one another. To love God, to love one another, the law fulfills all the law. Winston, then we'll pray. I don't know what they would do if the question was if the amount that he owed for stealing, paying back five times, did not equal what his being bought and used as a slave by his master, would he have to go into slavery again? The Bible doesn't say so. And you have to remember that, now you can steal somebody's $100,000 car, or you can steal something else that's of great value. Back then, what could you steal? You could steal an ox, steal a donkey, you could steal a man's sickle, a man's plow, but you're not going to be, all that's low cost compared to our mentality of what you can steal. And I would imagine all that could be paid off pretty easily in 6 years' time with slavery. So, isn't the law of God good? And we're going to go to a place where, one, we're not even going to want to do any of these things. And we're going to be living under this God who created this law that in our fallen world, in our fallen condition, we know this is really a good law. And so what does it do for us? It makes us realize we're going to go be with a good God. And forever and ever and ever. And I can't wait. And men who want to adopt this, nations that want to adopt this mindset, they live in peace. They live in prosperity. There's a minimal amount of jails necessary. You know, even in our culture, wanting jails, you don't need jails if everybody has this fear and conviction in their heart. But when we abandon God, we abandon His law, we do destructive things to our own ultimate demise, and we're on that road. And may God help us to at least keep our own families off of it so that we can serve Jesus until He comes. Amen. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for how good of a God You really are, not because we say so, Lord, but because You are the creator of the universe and You created us and You so loved us that You made a way for us to be saved from some of the sins that we've committed in our life that are in violation of these laws, that You, as Jesus said, that you know, grace and mercy, the law came through Moses and grace and mercy came through Your son Jesus, that some of us could have been executed for these things that have happened. And Lord, that You instead made a way to erase all of our sin and to make it so that we could have everlasting life. And we so thank You for that. Pray You just help our hearts to appreciate that more on a day-to-day basis. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand.
Father, I adore You. Lay my life before You. How I love You. Jesus, I adore You. Lay my life before You. Before You, how I love You. Father, I adore You. Lay my life before You. How I love You. Jesus, I adore You. Lay my life before You. How I love You. Spirit, I adore You. Lay my life before You.
Let that be really not just a song, a worship song, but a prayer. We want to lay our life before You. Let You use my life, God, to Your glory until He comes. God bless you. Keep you in His care until we can fellowship again. See you on Sunday.